Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Deborah Shane's Top Small Business Podcast and the hub for community connections and conversations. Join us weekly for lively discussions and inspiring guests on current events, careers, consumer trends, small business, and social media. Visit DeborahShaneToolbox.com to learn more about Deborah and how you can be in the spotlight. And now, your host, Deborah Shane.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to 2015 here on the Metropolis Radio Podcast. I am Deborah Shane, your host, going into our sixth year doing the podcast, and we've hit over 575,000 downloads and listens. So, again, I can only say how grateful we are that you are supporting us and you like what we are doing. And I am amazingly, like, lucky to be able to have put this show together to open the year. And let me just make sure Penn is on the line. Penn, are you there?
I most certainly am, Deborah. How are you doing?
Oh, my God. Okay, yes, I am doing fantastic. I can't believe we pulled this off. I am speaking to the CNN hero of 2014, Penn Farthing, who lives in Kabul, Afghanistan, and is the founder of Nowzad.com Dog Rescue. And he was chosen about a month ago or so, a couple months ago, as the CNN Hero of the Year. And I was following this on Twitter and, kind of tweeting back and forth, and I followed him and he followed me, and I invited him onto the podcast so that we could learn more about him and how we can help him. And so here we are, direct and live from Kabul, Afghanistan. Penn, how are you?
I'm very good. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Oh, my God. That is
it. And that was a fantastic introduction. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm just so excited to have been able to pull this off. This is the beauty of the web and podcasting, that you can really connect people from all over the world. And you are from where?
England. I'm an Essex boy in England, the east side of London. And I joined the Marines when I was 18, so I kind of left home then and only ever go back now and again to see my mum. Otherwise, I live in the west of England now, down in the west country.
I see. Okay. And so Nowzad Dogs operates the only official animal shelter in Afghanistan, just located just outside of Kabul, and so it is supported by a small animal clinic headed up by expat Louise and her team of Afghan nationals. Tell us a little bit. You are from the Royal Marine. You're a Royal Marine Sergeant in the UK Army. Is that what you are?
I was, yeah. I served my 22 years, and then at the end of my service, I've gone into running the charity nonprofit full-time.
So you were stationed in Afghanistan, correct?
I was indeed, yeah. I served in Helmand Province. And that's where this new life of mine started, really. At the end of that tour of duty, kind of Afghanistan had got under my skin, and I didn't feel that just going home and finishing my time as a Marine was the end of the story, and it's proved not to be.
So, okay. So I want you to take us back to this moment of inspiration that you got, you felt. Seriously, the moment and circumstance that you knew that this is what you, number one, wanted to do, and that this would be a huge plus to the soldiers, obviously, but also to the dogs.
Yeah, I mean, when I first was down in Helmand Province, there were stray dogs, absolutely everywhere. But there was nothing we could do about it because, I was there as a Royal Marine and we were out, obviously, engaging with the Taliban. So dog rescue was obviously the furthest thing from my mind. But the actual dog problem was brought to our attention by some Afghan policemen who were actually having a dog fight. They put two dogs together and they're both male dogs, very territorial, so they were fighting each other. And so I broke that dog fight up and then one of those dogs kind of ran off and hid in our compound. And I wanted to get him out because I wasn't sure what he'd like. But in the attempts that I took to try and get him out, he actually befriended me and I befriended him and he became my buddy. So, yeah, that's how my contact with the dogs first started. And then just at the end of 6 months, he became my buddy, my pet. And for him, I was a source of food and somebody who's actually being nice to him. So he didn't want to, I couldn't just leave him there. So I actually hatched a plan to get him out of Afghanistan and all the way back to England.
That simple, right? I mean, it was this, man's best friend, right? I mean, it's like yep. So classic. It's such a classic story of man's best friend. Dogs, gravitate to us. We gravitate to dogs for so many reasons. But the whole idea, I guess, of, wartime and, the companionship that happens for both the dog and the soldier is just, it's such an extraordinary thing to be able to have that in this kind of environment. Is that what you were feeling?
Yeah, I mean, for me, just being with that dog for 5 minutes was my magic carpet to get out of Afghanistan. I could just sit with him and pretend I wasn't, there. And so it just provided a means of escape. And, at the end of that time, I guess I owed him because he'd given me that comfort. I couldn't just think of, throwing him back out to be used for fighting or to face, whatever, starvation, disease. So that's when I hatched the plan to get him out of Afghanistan and to the UK.
Yeah. So talk a little bit about the idea to start the actual shelter.
Well, I mean, once I got, obviously, the dog out, I renamed him Nowzad because the town that we were in was called Nowzad. And that was battered and obviously war-torn, and so was this dog. His ears had been cut off, his tail was missing, he's got lots of scars on his face. So we named him Nowzad because it's kind of quite fitting. And we later found out that Nowzad in Dari actually means newborn. We just thought that was a great idea and for a charity because there was no animal welfare in Afghanistan at that time. And there were just so many dogs that no one was caring for, and because they weren't even caring for them, there was no kind of welfare program. That meant they were just breeding out of control, and with that came rabies. And Afghanistan has a absolute massive problem with rabies. So if we could actually do something humane for the dogs, we'd actually be helping the Afghan people because we'd be helping them to reduce the incidence of rabies. So it just kind of all fell into place. And, that little idea and that one dog kind of, it's just started something that's, for us is pretty special now and, has a massive impact over here in Afghanistan.
Yeah, it's like, it's just identifying a need, a problem, and creating a solution, which is kind of what CNN Heroes are all about. I've been following that particular award show for a few years, because of that very reason, the people that they find, the people that seem to be nominated are just ordinary people doing extraordinary things, and many of them had these problems or issues, and so the creation of whatever they're doing is because they needed a solution. And so, you identified some problems and you created some solutions, and there we have Nowzad, dog rescue. So talk a little bit about what you actually do in the shelter. What are some of the things that you do in Kabul in that shelter?
Well, out here now, we actually have, this is the only official animal shelter there is in Afghanistan. So we use it as a kind of a showcase to try and obviously educate and inform, especially obviously the local government, inform them, what they actually can be doing in a positive way. for obviously the animals out here, which is in turn help the people. We're really proud to be able to say that we now have four fully qualified Afghan nationals who are trained as veterinarians.
Wow.
And with that, two of them are actually female. So we have these two young female Afghan nationals who come in, you know, to work each day, which, you know, 5 years ago would never have happened. You know, they wouldn't have been allowed to go to school to become educated, you know, and definitely not go out and earn their own living. Yet these two girls can now. And that's the testament to the, you know, the troops, the American soldiers, the British soldiers who've been over here in Afghanistan, you know, the security that they have actually brought. And I don't think, you know, a lot of media coverage actually shows the positive side of what the soldiers have achieved over here in Afghanistan. And that is giving the ordinary Afghans, you know, their lives back and their, you know, the ability to carry on and actually be, you know, citizens who want to go out to work, who want to be educated. And that's what the majority of Afghans do, you know, and it's just amazing to be able to see and be part of that.
Yeah, that's amazing. Only dog shelter in Afghanistan? I mean, that's crazy. I mean, seriously, that's kind of like we would never think that we would never have a dog shelter in somewhere in America, you know. But you're saying that this became one of the first dog shelter in Afghanistan. That's amazing.
This is the only one, yeah. This kind of makes us a little bit in demand. So it's always nonstop. We always have dogs or cats coming through the door.
Yeah. So is this opening obviously paving the way for more shelters in Afghanistan, or creating an example to take into other, you know, surrounding countries?
Well, we'd like to do both of those, actually. It all comes down, sadly, to funding. We're now at kind of the balance point, you know, where we need to expand, but we just don't have the necessary funds in place at the moment to be able to do that. But also, you know, it's proved that, you know, so many people, I hear this all the time, say, you know, well, Muslims hate dogs. And I'm like, well, no, they don't. You know, they're exactly the same as Americans or Brits. Some people like dogs, some people don't. You know, and you can't blame the people who don't. And that's the same here in Afghanistan. There are Afghans who really don't like dogs, but there are Afghans who actually have dogs as pets. They have cats as pets. And they want to see a humane solution to the problem. So, you know, we'd like to think that if we can actually get this working on a larger scale here, then there's absolutely no reason why we can't export this to other Muslim countries around here in the Middle East that could actually, you know, they really could benefit from reducing rabies in the stray dog population. So, you know, there's a lot to look forward to. It's just, you know, it's been a long struggle, a slow struggle, and it's just obviously we've got to keep going.
Well, those are two really important things, is, you know, stray dogs and rabies. I mean, those are two things that can really, you know, be a big problem. And so, you know, and I'm sure that there's other, you know, health and medical things going on over there that, see, we don't have, you know, we don't really know. I mean, we live here in America, and in a lot of ways we're sheltered from a lot of things, except what the media sort of portrays, unfortunately. And, you know, and some of these countries just have problems that we don't think about. So let's talk for a minute here about your, you know, how you got to CNN, all right? Who nominated you? How did you, you know, get to CNN and, you know, get to be a part of the top 10, of course, and then, of course, the top hero? Tell us a little bit about that process and your experience with it.
It was something that I didn't know anything about at the time when the nomination went forward. That was actually my girlfriend, Hannah, who had put me forward. She was kind of, you know, seeing me obviously go off and do all this all the time with Afghanistan. She'd actually come across here our first holiday together. She actually came here to Afghanistan to see, you know, what I do. And, you know, and she wanted to be part of that. And so she actually nominated me. And I didn't actually know about it until I got the email from the CNN team saying, you know, you've been nominated and we'd just like to know a little bit more about you. And so, you know, I told them what I do, didn't think any more of it. And then I got an email saying, right, you know, we want to actually come and see this and, you know, we want to basically ask every single question possible and go through all the accounts and, you know, meet people and find the other people who've seen what we've done who could vouch for us. And so it actually started over a year ago before we were finally told that we'd made the top 10. I mean, and just to, you know, make the top 10, well, you know, we were doing backflips. So, I mean, that was absolutely fantastic because we knew that was a, you know, going to be a fantastic piece of promotion for Now's Had Dogs, and the fact that CNN had, you know, just you know, actually said, yeah, you know, everything we do is, you know, this is what we do, and, you know, they've got photographs and videos for us. It was just brilliant. So, yeah, that's how we got to the top 10.
So they came out and they filmed. They filmed what you do, you know, the shelter and so forth,
yeah, they
right?
filmed with our vets. You know, they interviewed the vets. You know, they talked to people who've been out here, and they also talked to soldiers that we've helped, you know, soldiers who now have their companion animals back in the U.S. So they went and filmed with a couple of those soldiers and talked to them and, you know, found out their stories. So, you know, it was a fantastic kind of valuation for us to actually to have some outside group, especially a news media group like CNN, to actually say, yeah, right, this is what these guys are doing, and to showcase it for us.
Well, it was very moving, number one. I mean, anytime you know, obviously dogs and babies move us, but it was very moving because it really focused on the soldiers and the dogs, you know, and the relationship that you know, came out of this this pairing. It was really clearly about that, and it was, you know, of course, you know, Cabal is you know, kind of a ravaged area over the years, but you know, it's good news. This was so well done and so moving, and so okay. So you were the top 10. Now, how does CNN pick the top one? They go ahead and choose the one they feel is the hero of the year.
No, it's done by a general public vote. So
okay,
they put
so
the top
10
out there, and then they open the voting system up, and then everybody gets to vote for their top hero.
Wow.
Yeah, and when I was sat there at the show, you know, when they do the tribute show, you know, none of us in the top 10, you know, knew who was going to obviously win the top spot. But you listen to the other stories and you meet the other guys, and you do sit there and think, well, there's no chance I can win this, because, you know, there's such amazing stories and what they've actually, you know, given up and what they do. And then there was also, while we were sat there, there were some youngsters there. So there's some young teenagers, and CNN showcased their stories as well. And some of them, I mean, they're just doing absolutely amazing things. And you sit there watching these stories, and you think, I'm not doing enough. This little girl's, you know, 11 years old, and she's out there changing her part of the world. And you're thinking, she started out at 11. I didn't start mine till I was 40. I've got a lot of catching up to do. So, you know, it's pretty amazing. So when they actually called out my name as, you know, the CNN Hero of the Year for 2014, I was slightly shocked is an understatement.
Well, when the public votes on it, you know, it's the real deal to them. So how is it, you know, how is it being at the actual show live and being able to meet the other nominees and you know, the vibe, the energy? Tell us a little bit about that.
I mean, we'd met the other nine the evening before.
I see.
In New York, and so we'd all got together, and so, you know, got to chat to each other. But we'd only really, you know, seen the videos that CNN had put up on each person for the voting. So then you actually get to, you know, talk to them in person. And, yeah, I mean, some actually great, you know, friends there from just those nine people, and, you know, listen to their stories. And then you know, we all go along, we totally have no idea what to expect. And we're at the National History Museum in New York. That's where they held the awards night. And it was just all kind of surreal. And it was, you know, even at the end, once it was all over and we were back at the hotel and we're all just, you know, stood in the bar, it was still just, wow, did that just happen? You know, it was just absolutely crazy 24 hours. It really was.
Well, not only did it happen, but it's archived on the web, okay, which is, you know, when you think about the ability to do that today as opposed to 25 years ago, you know, I mean,
yeah.
you could you could save things, but not like today. And it's, you know, it's a legacy that is just incredible. It really, really is. So tell us a little bit about what's next for the rescue and how we can help you. What do you need the most help with? I mean, obviously donations, but tell us a little bit about where things are going next and how the public can help you.
I mean, one of the things that I'm really passionate about is kind of overriding this impression that, you know, people have of Afghanistan, you know, as a country. And like I said, you know, we don't actually portray what the soldiers achieved here. You know, a lot of people think, well, you know, we lost a lot of guys and then we're going home and, you know, leave them to it. And, you know, that's not the case at all. The Afghanistan that we came to, you know, 13 years ago is not the Afghanistan of today. You know, like I said, you can drive down now through Kabul and you'll see young girls, you know, all in their little white headscarves and their little black uniforms, all going to school. You know, you'd never have seen that, you know, 5-6 years ago. And it's just an amazing thing to be part of. And so just, you know, from our point of view, is yes, the donations. We desperately need donations to keep going. We're a non-profit. You know, without the fabulous support, you know, of people who hear about us and read about us, we would have, you know, we wouldn't be doing what we do. But I also would like people to kind of follow us and see what we're doing so they can actually see the real Afghanistan now, because, you know, we have passionate Afghans who work for us. They enjoy working. They enjoy being with the dogs. You know, our four vets, they're here. You know, their mission is to, you know, to make a difference here in Afghanistan. So really, it's just to try and get people to see what Afghanistan is today and, you know, the difference it is from when we first came here 13 years ago.
So I wanted to stick one more. I wrote a little note to myself here. You know, given the circumstances of the last week or so in Paris, how is that, you know, being felt or impacted where you, in Afghanistan, if at all? How are they reacting and assimilating that? Since this is, it's a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, totally. I mean, it's absolutely horrific, you know, what happened in Paris. And then you go back, you know, what happened in Australia just a few weeks earlier, or Canada, you know, a couple of weeks before that. You know, our vets here, our veterinary staff, they're incredibly well educated. You know, they've been through university and through veterinary school. You know, and even our driver here, you know, he watches the news. He completely understands what's going on. And I've talked to them all about it since I've been over here. And all of them are absolutely horrified because, you know, they hate the fact that they're, you know, basically shoved under the same, you know, umbrella as these guys who carried out those atrocities, because obviously they call themselves Muslims. And, you know, our staff here, they're, you know, they're all religious, but, you know, they absolutely, you know, hate that thought that they've been classed as, you know, these terrorists were. You know, and so that's what they, and I explained to them, well, you know, hopefully through the work we're doing with NOWSAD, you know, people will see what you do and they'll understand and realise that you're not all part of that. You know, I said these guys want to be educated, they want to have a wage, they want to work, they want to bring up their families. You know, they don't want to go around doing that kind of stuff. So, yeah, that's what I'm hoping we can achieve as well with NOWSAD. It's kind of like something I never really envisaged at the start, but we can actually also inform and educate people about, like I said, the real Afghanistan and not the, you know, the small minority of people who actually, you know, do some real damage.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's, I think that's unfortunately a situation that is, you have to be vigilant, you have to be consistent, you have to keep, you know, presenting, you know, what it is now. And, you know, it's really hard to break those stereotypes because with the media, I'm not saying the media is great all the time at all, because I come from a media background, and even though I've only been involved in good media things, I can see how media can be, you know, really distort things a lot. And, you know, Afghanistan was a very negative situation for a while. And, you know, I think being able to see it as it is today, and again, so, you know, people sometimes think everybody in Afghanistan is like that. Well, they're not at all. And, you know,
absolutely,
I think that's...
Not.
That's
I mean,
go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, people here, there's attacks here daily. You know, and just, you know, ordinary innocent Afghan civilians that, you know, die every day here in Afghanistan from attacks. You know, and they don't want that. You know, they're just as horrified and, you know, scared as, you know, the people of Paris. You know, because it's happening here on a daily basis. So, yeah, you know, it is just a minority. And sadly, though, it's the minority that make the headlines. And people tend to, you know, read headlines and they don't kind of go into the further stories or the small print. And, you know, as you well know yourself, you know, sadly, the media do put kind of the good news stories towards the middle of the paper or down the page, and the bad stories make the headlines. So, yeah, it's something we can change, though, if we can keep informing people and, you know, people are open to, you know, research and looking things up and seeing what goes on. Then I feel that, yeah, we are going to make a difference, and, you know, we can actually get past this all. And I think, you know, the outpouring and everybody who's joined together, you know, in Paris to, you know, to say, no, we're not prepared to stand up to these attacks, you know, that's the kind of way forward. And it's really brilliant to see people of all religions actually stood there in Paris, you know, making the stand. So, you know, yeah, that was good.
It was incredible in Paris. I mean, I have to say I was so moved. And I posted, you know, about if I was anywhere near Paris, France, I would have been marching in that I would have been standing there as a proud Jew. And, you know, I don't understand hate sometimes, Penn. I don't understand where it comes from. It's sometimes it's not, you know, it's just an ideology and not a human thing. So we just have to, you know, we have to not only make a decision that it's unacceptable, but we have to all together take actions, you know, to help. You know, make it stop, so to speak.
It's all about education.
Yes. So give us information. Give us the information on where we can learn more about NowZad and the website and the Twitter and the Facebook site, so that people can go and learn more about you and hopefully help out a little bit on the donation side. Give us all the information, please.
They can go to our website, which is NowZad.org, for all our fantastic American supporters. And that'll tell them, there's a lot of the stories on there about the soldiers, or that'll tell them about our clinic and what we're up to now. And there's also our Facebook page, which is just, they just need to type in NowZad and they'll come up with NowZad, the non-profit. And if they actually want to follow me now while I'm here in Kabul, they can actually follow me on my Twitter, which is simply Penn Farthing, and you'll see a picture of me with NowZad, the original dog. And that's my profile page. So, yeah, I mean, then you can follow now and see what we've been up to today. We've been trying to get through the streets of Kabul with a large lorry full of cat kennels and dog food to find that it wouldn't fit through our front door. So we then had to hire a crane and lift it all over the wall. So we've had an enjoyable day today trying to sort that little thing out. But yeah, we're just getting ready now because apparently it's meant to start snowing later on tonight and tomorrow. So we're getting the wood in the fires ready to go.
Well, we've been speaking with CNN Hero of the Year 2014, Penn Farthing, who is the founder of NowZad Dog Rescue in Kabul. And please go to his website, NowZad.org, and you'll find everything there. You'll find Facebook, Twitter. You'll find all the ways that you can learn more about this fantastic organization, about Penn, and how you can help them if you so choose to, and we hope that you do. And he's also the author of three books, including a Sunday Times bestseller, One Dog at a Time. Penn, thank you so much for helping me to make this happen. I'm so honored that we got a chance to do this. And I may be checking back with you in a few months and maybe bring you back on and see how things are going. So we
please
wish you the best.
Yeah, please do.
Well, thank you so much. We
thank
wish
you
the best.
No, thank you much for having me on. This has been absolutely brilliant.
Well, thank you. The feelings are mutual. All right, everybody, thank you so much for opening the year with me with Penn Farthing, the CNN Hero of the Year. And please come back and visit us next time.
Thank you for listening to our Top Small Business Podcast. Please share us with others and come back and visit again soon. To learn more about Deborah and how you can be in the spotlight, visit DeborahShaneToolbox.com and rock somebody's day, whatever you do.